It's Suns Timberwolves in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. Game one this Saturday from Minneapolis. Pre-game at 11:30, 12:30 tip. Listen to every Suns playoff game on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gimbo show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader on this Friday. Exciting times around the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury organization. Playoffs start tomorrow for the Suns, 12:30 tip time in game one against the Timberwolves.
Let's go.
And then, of course, the Phoenix Mercury opened their season in less than a month. They just had the WNBA draft a couple of days ago. They unveiled these sweet new jerseys that Devin Booker was like, oh, yeah, I like those a lot. And joining us right now to kind of get a temperature check, not only of the Mercury, but of the Suns as well, as they get ready to take on the Timberwolves tomorrow. The president and CEO of the Suns and the Mercury, Josh Bartelstein, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Josh, welcome, man. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great out here in Minnesota right now. Excited for tip-off tomorrow. And as you said, there's a lot of exciting things happening at both the Mercury and Suns. Thanks for having me.
Did you ever have that one-on-one game with Ishbia to see if you could beat him?
We're both getting ourselves in shape. Now, we opened this new headquarters last week. We have an awesome basketball court, so now we have no excuse. But I think once we're both ready this summer, we'll have you guys come out and you can do a live show while we play.
I think you do it the way like Rocky fought Apollo in which one was that? Wait, fought
Rocky
the third
fought
time.
Apollo at the end of Rocky III.
At the end of Rocky III,
they had the fight.
Yeah. Nobody saw it. Nobody watches. One on one. Do it at like 2 o'clock in the morning at the new facility. Nobody will see it. All right, let's. Are you in?
Absolutely. Next time he's on, you guys will ask him how he wants it done. Whatever he wants, I'm in.
All right, I'm taking a look at these Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, the new uniforms. These are pretty remarkable. You guys, the Mercury and Nike, have unveiled the new Rebel Edition uniforms. They look pretty sweet. Tell me a little bit about how this all came together.
Yeah, we're excited about them. You know, we have such an awesome team with the Mercury. Like, if you guys ask me, you know, I've been here for over a year. One thing I'm most excited about and impressed by is just how our team runs the Mercury, and led by the president, Vince Kozar, our graphics team, our design team, just the care, attention to detail, and the love they have for that team is why it's so good. So we're really excited for the Rebel uniform. We're also the first team ever, believe it or not, to have a matching court for it. So now next season, which is around the corner when we wear those uniforms, you'll have a really dynamic court that will see it as well. And I think it just goes to show how dynamic the brand is, how vibrant it is. It was massive all over social media yesterday. A lot of text from people asking me for a jersey, and I said, absolutely, go to our new team store, and you can buy one there.
That's right. You want a freebie? No. There's the team. Right, exactly. I was especially struck by the video of Devin Booker seeing him for the first time and how he kind of referenced the Valley jerseys of a couple of years ago, which were just so insanely popular, and that obviously struck a nerve with the marketplace. And obviously, it would seem like you guys are going for the same nerve with this because it's kind of the same look. It's kind of got those same vibes. Those were just crazy popular, and it's pretty obvious, pretty safe to say that's kind of what you're going for with this, to harken back to those Suns Valley jerseys?
Yeah. No, I was in Detroit then. I remember seeing all over the demand for them and just how much they pop. And I think it's on the authenticity of it. Or, yeah, there's obviously they resemble those, but I'm putting them in our own Mercury way. So it's authentic to the Mercury and what they're doing, and that's why the court will be impactful too, because it'll be a truly new court than the ones that we're seeing. So yes, I think absolutely, but the Mercury always do things their own way, and that's why they're such an awesome brand.
All right, so fans can purchase the new Rebel Edition jerseys online at shop.phoenixmercury.com and at the Player 15 Group Business Headquarters at 475 East Lincoln Street in downtown Phoenix. And there will be a Rebel Edition merchandise collection that's also going to be available at the team shop at the Footprint Center. Tell me about the merchandise collection, because it's not just the jerseys, right?
Yeah, you're going to see all different types of merch there. And everyone should come check out our new building. We opened it 2 weeks ago at the Player 15 Group Headquarters, where Suns Business, Mercury Business, our new G League team, and the Mercury Press will open there in July. And we have a team store within there. But to kind of show the gravity of what we're building, it's a great, great space. So again, you guys are welcome. We're going to get you to do a live show from there so you can come see it, take it all in. But there's a ton of good merch, Mercury themed, and the Rebel Edition as well.
We want to ask you about the Suns here in a minute, obviously, because you're in Minnesota. But when it comes to the building, how transformative is a building like that to both organizations? And so I know that the introduction of the building was a couple of weeks ago, but what does that mean for both of these organizations to have this headquarters like that?
It's awesome, guys. I didn't fully understand the impact of it. Now being there 2 weeks, and I'll give Matt credit, because when we talked about this when I first started, I was kind of saying, well, we can just renovate within footprint, it will all be great. And he goes, no, we can never achieve what we want to achieve being in this building. We need more space. We need to be able to be open and collaborative and have people be able to walk around, create team building, and have a basketball court, a pickleball court, have food offerings, like a true campus. That's what he built in Pontiac, Michigan, at UWM. And he was spot on, because the vision of what he wanted is what we achieved. And to see, just people that are having lunch here, they haven't seen, and they would never see each other ever in that building because of how packed in we are. So our whole point is collaboration, teamwork, getting up from your desk and going to see someone, not hiding behind email or phone. That's what it's doing. And just 2 short weeks, we have people having 3-point contests. We had a company 3-point contest today, 25 shots. The leader only hit 16. So as a group, we got to work on our shot a little more around the organization.
What'd you get? How many did you get? How many did you hit?
I'm in Minnesota. I'll do it when I get back and let you guys know. But okay. I promise you, it'd be more than 16.
Okay.
But everyone has just been really happy about it. And it's just great vibes and really good energy. And it helps split off everything we're doing in Phoenix.
Josh, I want to ask you one more question, if I could. And that is, and I understand she was drafted by another organization, but Caitlin Clark is an insanely popular figure within the world of sports right now. How do you think a presence like that kind of lifts all boats when it comes to women's basketball and the WNBA and the product in general?
Yeah, look, I think just women's sports in general is exploding. The cool part for me is getting to see with Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner here locally and already having, 2 superstars, and then the players you've added and Sophie. So it's awesome. I grew up with 3 younger sisters, so a lot of my childhood was going to watch them play sports, and I'm all in for it. So it's the sponsorship, the ticketing, the numbers you are seeing are astronomical, the viewership. But I think it's not just a moment in time. Some people ask, is this it? And then in a year or two, we're going to say, oh, there was this burst. No, we're only just starting. And I think you're going to see continued growth in sports and women's sports. And we want to lead it. And I think that's what's exciting about this, is whether it was the past deal we announced this week with Partake, getting WNBA All-Star here in July, the new Mercury facility, all these things we're doing. So have something grow, you got to care about it and invest in it. And we're trying to invest in it and show we care. And then you're going to see the results tenfold. And that's what you're seeing with the Mercury and women's sports globally as well.
The goat against the rook. I think everybody's looking forward to that when she finally comes here to play in Phoenix. Leave me with this, because we read also about the Mercury and Cleveland Avenue announcing this revolutionary rotating badge partnership. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's awesome. So Cleveland Avenue is a VC firm that we work closely with, and we announced this large partnership 2 weeks ago. And you're going to have assets at Suns games and Mercury games. Things like, when Gambo comes and visits me in the suite, it's going to know what type of artificial intelligence will welcome into the suite and say, Gambo, what type of cocktail would you like? And it will bring his cocktail in on a robot right to him, which sounds a little crazy, but we care a lot about fan experience. So we're investing in fan experience with this new technology.
Damn.
And
wow.
Cleveland Avenue has that. So that's kind of part one.
So it'll know if I want an iced tea, it'll know I want an iced tea and it'll bring it to me?
It's going to know. Once you've been there a couple of times, we're going to program it. You'll see next year you'll come. You have a robot bring you a nice iced tea as soon as you walk in, and life will be good. So we'll have that for you. And then as we were talking to them, a lot of their investments are on women and diversity. And we started talking about the Mercury and all the things we were doing, and so we have to be part of that. So we announced a couple of days ago this partnership with Partake, which is one of their companies that's around food allergenic cookies. So many people struggle with allergies, and Partake cookies eliminate that problem. And it's with this amazing, amazing woman named Denise Woodard, who has an awesome story. Literally started this company because her daughter was allergic to food. And she started out of her garage, driving all the cookies in the backseat of her car, driving and selling them. And has grown significantly, but she's about all the right things. And I think one thing that Matt and I have really focused on is it's not transactional relationships. It's about true relationships that are based on who the people are. And Denise was so special. So we announced a couple of days ago the rotating badge, where every year we'll rotate who's on the Mercury badge. They'll all be Cleveland Avenue companies that focus on diversity in women. And this is kind of year one. And it was a huge announcement, an awesome deal. and we'll keep building on it.
All right. Well, Josh, good stuff. Please make sure you come home from Minnesota this week with at least a split. You see if you can do that for us, at least a split. What do you think?
I'm excited. There's nothing like playoff basketball. We had a good practice today. The guys are ready. And one more sleep, and then the ball goes up.
Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, Josh, we appreciate the time. As always, best of luck. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh Bartelstein, President and CEO of the Suns and the Mercury.
I figured, I want an iced tea. They're going to bring it to me?
Did anybody else just hear how Gambo's going to get his next co-host? Right there, right? It's going to be AI because you'll just tell your co-host to go get you an iced tea, whatever you want, and the robot will go get it for you, and wow. I just lost my job. That's how this is going to go.
What we all need is a robot in our lives.
Hey, it's Gambo from the Gambo Show. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah, it'll be like, this does not compute.
It's the Gambo and the C-3PO Show coming up on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show with names like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, surely they're the two biggest names in this series, right? Or are they? That's next on Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo, soundbite of the week. Brought to you by Whataburger. Download the Whataburger app and sign up for a free Whataburger today.
All right, every single week we roll out the soundbite of the week. Brought to you by Whataburger. Mitch and Lauren are in charge of... Or is Lauren not in charge of it?
No, give her credit. She deserves some credit.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
I did the one last week. Mitch did the one this week.
Okay, there you go. So we're alternating.
I admittedly waffled on this one.
Did you?
Yeah, because I landed on the soundbite of the week at around noon today, I would say.
When it was spoken?
It had to be spoken first.
When it was spoken today at around noon? Okay.
I want to shout out some noms real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Monty Ossenfort joking about a trade offer where he'd have to give up his house and telling his wife, we got to move.
He stole that from Gambo, so yes. he borrowed it from Gambo. So it's that one is null and void.
The Suns player is barking at Bradley Beal on the post-game TV show after the Sunday game.
That one was pretty good.
Could have chosen from anything from the final Coyotes broadcast, whether it be Todd Walsh, Tyson Nash, Matt McConnell, any of the bunch. Could have been anything that Alex Murrow said with you guys yesterday. And then he spoke today.
Because I didn't like the media. In fact, it's funny, I own two TV stations in Los Angeles, five radio stations in Los Angeles, and I have never once been on any radio or any TV. I don't like the media. I'm very... I avoid media for many reasons.
Let me translate that a little bit. I don't think anybody should take that personally. I think he doesn't like being a public person, yes. Right? And not that he dislikes the media, because as he says, he owns media, and all of you, he wasn't referring to.
It was great.
Some people don't like to be that out there in public.
Gary Bettman doing his best Frank Drebin there.
Gary Bettman, during a live press conference, trying to put literal toothpaste back into literal tube.
And it looked like it would seem like that. Wait, nope. He doesn't hate you.
He likes you.
Yeah.
He likes you all very much. We all need you very much.
By the way, do you like, we kind of need these guys to help kind of like, keep the, you want a team back in, like, we need these people. Like, we need a good positive message.
I was listening to the press conference live today on Arizona Sports when I was getting ready to drive into work, and I'm in the house by myself. Yeah. I'm just laughing out loud when I hear that, because Bettman, you just hear him like, no,
like me saying, no, I really don't like any of the listeners. I don't like any of you. I really don't like you.
I'd be like, wait a second, we need them. No, Gambo. Gambo loves our listeners.
They just, some of you he doesn't like.
He doesn't think you're dumb. He doesn't think you're idiots.
Just a couple of you. It's probably like 5%.
That's our sound. But for a second there, I thought you were going to go with the Pete Fairbanks soundbite from earlier in the week. That would have been a good one.
That was fantastic.
I don't know if Gambo's heard that one or not. Can you hear?
I'll see if I can find it and wheel it around in the reset.
Fairbanks, after he blew a save, talked about how bad he sucked in blowing the save. It was hilarious. He's like, I sucked. I reached a new level of suckage today. It was really funny.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I want to hear that.
I think Mitch is going to get it here in a second. I'm trying to stall long enough for him to find it because it was really.
And that was this week?
Okay. All right. So I'm not. All right, we'll play it at the end of the segment. We're going to play it at the end of the segment. So I promise you that. We played this soundbite earlier today. Stephen A. Smith talking about how, hey, we don't talk about KD the way we used to because KD hasn't gotten very far in the playoffs lately.
It's been a long, long time since Kevin Durant has been in the conference finals. And I'm telling you right now, you can't be in this situation and go out there and lose in the first round. If that happens, that is not good. There's no question about it. And we talk, it's not an accident that as great as he is, as marvelous of a player as he is, we don't talk about him nearly as much as we should. And we damn sure don't talk about him nearly as much as we used to. Because the results haven't been there.
Yeah, and so he says, hey, look, KD better get out of the first round, otherwise he's going to get what he wants and no one's talking about
it. But in the end, guess what? You know what? This is the surefire best way for us not to talk about you. If your ass is at home when it really, really counts because somebody bounced you out of there. And that has been the case for him since he's departed from Golden State. I don't blame him for the series against Milwaukee when Kyrie got hurt, because I thought they could have won it all then. And Kevin Durant was absolutely sensational. But other than that, it's been rough. There's no way around it.
A lot of Kevin Durant discourse today on First Take.
It's not fair. It's never been fair. But again, it's a difference between the way you look at things locally and you look at things nationally. Kawhi Leonard, does he have to get back to the... Does he have to get back to the finals? Hasn't been there since Toronto. Went to the Clippers. Got that great team.
We do not talk about Kawhi Leonard like we talk about Kevin Durant.
The national types don't talk about Kawhi like that.
Nope.
Because Durant piggybacked off of Curry, Draymond, and Klay to win championships, even though he was the best player in those series and was the NBA Finals MVP. And I think we can make an argument that Golden State doesn't win it if Kevin Durant's not there, but they don't want to hear that.
I think we could.
The national media wants to be like, oh, has it been back to the final since? 37 years old, look, or 35 years old, right? 35 years old, been in the league 17 years. Was it for Golden State, he wouldn't have a title. You talk about him the same way you talk about Ewing and Malone and Barkley. And it's, I don't buy it. And again, there's nothing Kevin Durant can do about the way his legacy His legacy is what it is, and he's going to feel really good about what he accomplished in this sport when he's done. And there will be some people that recognize how great he was in those accomplishments, and there will be some people, if he doesn't win a championship again, that are going to knock it because they don't like the way he won the two in Golden State.
Yeah, you know how when like a song comes out and you love it and you listen to it again and again and they play it again and again and over and over, and after a while you just get so sick of it you can't stay it, but they keep playing it
totally
because it's a hit song, right?
Totally.
But after a while you're like, I've had enough of this song, I'm over it. To me, the national narrative about Kevin Durant and all of this stuff about legacy and what he needs, to me it's like the hit record that I'm like, I'm over this one.
Do you have one?
There's not one out now that I'm like, I don't want to hear this song anymore. But you know, it's obviously a little different right now with streaming services and satellite radio and things like that.
You still get sick of songs.
But yeah, you get this is a song that I'm sick of hearing. This is a song that I get it. It's still a hit. And I get it that radio stations still have to play it. But man, it's like, I'm on to the next. Give me another song. I want to hear something else. So here's something completely different.
Okay.
This is Michael Wilbon today, who says, forget about Book and forget about KD. The star of this series starting tomorrow. Nope.
You know, when you're looking at the Suns involved in anything, you're looking at, Durant and Booker demand your attention.
Yeah.
Your eyes go to them. They're the brightest, shiniest objects on the floor. Oh, no, not in this series, okay? Because Anthony Edwards is that guy now. I'm not saying he's a better player than those guys yet, but is he on the way to that? Looks like it.
He believes this series is Anthony Edwards' coming out party.
There have been these comparisons, and people better be careful with that, but I know what the comparisons are. To the fierceness, to the explosion, to the personality with which he plays, to the way he rallies teammates by making some of those plays like that block where he falls and crashes to the floor and hops right back up. Those things are reminiscent. Anthony Edwards, I want to see, is this his coming out party? What are we going to get from him? And is he going to, by the end of this series, make everybody say,
It's the number one overall pick in the draft a couple of years ago. He's actually been in the league for 4 years. He's 22 years old. He is a great depth. The problem with that for him is that they are a defensive team, and he's their scorer. He's a great defensive player, But they don't have the scoring that the Suns. A great offense will beat a great defense in the NBA. Now, in the 80s, it wasn't that way. Great defenses could beat a great offense. But now, a great offense will beat a great defense. The Suns have a great offense. The T-Wolves have a great defense. If the Suns aren't making their shots, Minnesota can win a game or two, or maybe three, you know, if the Suns don't make shots. But I think Anthony Edwards doesn't have the help. He doesn't have the help scoring wise. So if he's going to get shut down and score 20, 22 points in some of these games, it's going to be very hard for them to win.
Yeah. Mitch, send us to break with the Pete Fairbanks cut, if you would, please. You got it for me.
Thank you, Bally Sports Sun, by the way.
Okay. Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, I'm not going to let it beat me up for... You know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
That's great.
A general all-encompassing suck.
That's great. Wish more people would be honest like that. I really do. I wish more people would be honest like, what happened today? I sucked. Did you not watch? Were you not there?
A specific suck? No, just like, kind of a general all-encompassing, I just sucked.
Yeah, well, what happened? I was terrible. Like, do you really need to ask me this? I was terrible. Just write it. I was terrible.
Awesome. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, after you text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. If the Cardinals don't draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and they have the chance to, how's the fan base going to respond? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Wolf. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. My freak show is back for the 2024 NFL Draft. So who will earn the honor of being freak number one? Find out on Monday morning at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
I'm going to assume one of Wolf's freaks is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr., I would think. Monty Austin Fort yesterday, the general manager of the Cardinals, was, and it was funny, I was reading Darren Urban's story about this on azcardinals.com. At no point did any reporter specifically use the name Marvin Harrison Jr. in asking a question to Monty Austin Fort yesterday. But certainly the concept of Marvin Harrison Jr. was asked about many times because he's clearly the one that the fans want, right? Like he's the guy. Just go get him. Don't overthink this. Don't muck this up. Just go get the guy that's like this generational talent. Here's what Monty said on what he would tell fans about falling in love with a player like that.
Well, I mean, our fans are very important to us. And, you know, I think ultimately what I can promise and what I always promise is we're going to do what's best for the team. We're going to do what's best for the team this year and then also long term. And so, you know, I guess everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got favorites, and that goes with the territory. So, you know, I think ultimately JG and talked about this at length, like no matter what decision it is, whether it's draft or free agency or cutting a player or who makes a practice squad, every decision that we make, it will always be what's in the best interest of the team.
I know it kind of got lost. Not lost yesterday, but we were so heavy on the Alex Morello interview. We did have a couple conversations about the NFL draft and, yes, and some of the information that you've come to kind of gather about how this might go down.
Yes.
I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. Most of the stuff that you unearthed really led me with the impression that staying put at number four and taking Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't feel like that's what's going to happen next week. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't feel like that's how this is going to go.
I think a lot of people feel, look, last year they were willing to drop down. But they had to get enough to come back up and still be a net positive. So they used the second they got to come back up, but they were still positive a future first and third. So any deal that they may make is going to have to give them the ammunition to move back up. So if they move down, I would expect that they're going to move back up. Now, the unknown is, where? Everybody's quick to just say, well, do what Arizona did last year. You could do it again. You got to find a dance partner. You know, other teams got to want to do that too. But I would expect that if they make a trade down, they will look to move back up again. Last year, the stars aligned. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen again. So you've always got to go in with that worst case scenario, which is be prepared to sit where you fell back to in case you can't come up. Will they want to move? If they trade down, are they going to want to move back up? Yes, they will. But you got to be prepared that you may have to sit where you're at and take a player there because you may not be able to do it.
And I think the most interesting thing, and I want to make sure we highlight this again because I think this is worth talking about, and I imagine we're going to talk a lot about this next week as the first round is on Thursday, is that, okay, so you trade down, and A, you make sure you have enough ammo to move back up, and B, you make sure that where you trade down to, you're comfortable with in case you can't move up.
And I mentioned the teams that they can move up to.
That's exactly where I was putting the ball on the T for you on that one, because you had mentioned four teams specifically that might be trade back up targets for the Arizona Cardinals.
I would expect that the Cardinals will look at these teams to trade back up with. You ready?
Yes.
The Chargers at 5.
Okay.
The Tennessee Titans at 7.
Yep.
The Falcons at 8. And then the Bears at
9.
9.
They're at 9.
Everything that I have is that they would try to move back up inside the top 10. So if they do move back up, I would expect that they'll probably target these teams. Chargers, Titans, Falcons, Bears. I don't have anything saying they're going to move up to 12, 13, 14, 15. I would expect that it's going to be in that range. Chargers, Titans, Falcons, Bears. Well,
if they move out with like Minnesota or Denver to 12 or 13 or 11 or whatever.
You got
to
come back up there.
Now, 5, one of the top receivers is going to be there. 7, one of the top receivers is going to be there. Maybe the last one left. But you get on to 8 or 9, there's no guarantee one of the big three wide receivers are there. Did you hear? Oh, go ahead. See what you're going to say.
I was going to say, if that happens and they trade back up and the three wide receivers are gone, I would think that the pick will be the Notre Dame tackle, Joe Alt.
Okay.
If he's there.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you reminded me because you did mention that yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To me, the fascinating scenario is the trade out, then trade back up to 5. That to me is fast because now you're talking about picking up an extra asset somewhere along the line and still getting Marvin Harrison Jr. The classic have your cake, eat it too scenario.
Totally.
I mean, right? Like it's just,
if you could have that and just get a net second or third round, you'll take it.
Just anything. It's free. Extra. It's free. Anything extra would be fine if you could trade out and trade back into 5-7. You're probably, if you're going wide receiver, you've only probably the one that's left. And then, of course, 8 or 9, you don't know. And that's what's interesting about Joe Alt. What I was going to ask you is, did you hear the LA Chargers general manager, Joe Hartz, what he had to say?
No.
I'm going to spring this on you.
Spring it on me.
He says, we believe we have the first pick in the draft. Remember, they're at 5. Listen to how he justified this.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's going to be 4 picks that go before us, but we believe that, you know. And if 4 quarterbacks go, we believe strongly that we have the first pick of the draft. So what are teams willing to give us? Now, obviously, we know it's the 5th pick, and people are going to be trading on that, you know, scope. But, it's got to be a good value for us. And does it have to be blown away? What is blown away, you know? I don't know the answer to that.
Like, it's done.
He's expecting Monty to trade.
Like, it's done.
He's expecting him to trade.
Fait accompli. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Bye. We have the first pick in the draft. Yeah. Thanks for playing.
Wow.
Does he know it? Does he think it? Is he guessing it? I don't know.
He doesn't know. You know, because the Cardinals don't know. Cardinals don't know if they're trading down right now. They don't know.
But it certainly sounds like he is strongly assuming.
I believe that
the Cardinals will move out of 4 and that Mitch will owe me lunch.
I believe there's 3 teams right now that have had discussions with the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals have, you know, have basically set their price yet. I think you'll just wait. You know, I think you always, everybody, you always just waits. Okay, I know who's interested. I know who's interested. And then all hell breaks loose on draft day because then they panic and you don't want to make a deal now. You want to make a deal on draft day when they're going to give you more.
Couple sound bites today from NFL Live. This is Mina Kimes, who says the Cardinals should stay put.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on this question, which I think is a really fascinating one because as you guys know, I'm usually team trade down. I was in agreement with the Cardinals' decision last year to trade with the Texans, but knowing how that worked out, the Texans being better than anyone could have anticipated and the pick not being as valuable, I still think it was good process. And I don't think it would be bad process for them to trade down given all of the needs on their roster and how deep this receiving class and offensive, well, they don't need offensive tackle, but there's other positions that I think they could address. That said, I think they should just stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. For a number of reasons.
Whereas Mel Kiper Jr. said MHJ is special, but the top 3 wide receivers are great.
He's special. He's got the same attitude as Dad did. future Hall of Famer once he got to the Colts. It was him, Peyton Manning, working hours and hours to be great. That's what Marvin Harrison Jr. will do. So if I can get a deal that guarantees me one of the three, because you're splitting hairs between those top three. I love Odunze. He was my third guy. They're all the same grade. One's at three, one's at four, one's at five, one on the big board. But if I can't guarantee that, I am not making that move.
This is fascinating. This is
incredible.
Next week's going to be awesome. Because I can't wait for
you know damn well that there's no way that all three wide receivers are going to have the same careers. A lot of it depends on what team you go to, what quarterback is there, what, how much is ownership committed to winning, you know? But one of those receivers is going to be better than the other two. One of them will be. So how much better? Don't know. But one will be better than the other two.
I just love the church. Who's GM? We have the first pick in the draft. Quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, Joe. Okay. When we come back, how far are the Suns going to go in the postseason? One NBA writer who we're kind of a fan of took a stab at it, and we'll tell you what he had to say about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, everybody, Dan Bickley here. On Monday morning, we're going to be talking about playoff basketball. Do not miss a minute. It begins at 6 a.m. on Arizona Sports.
This is a really, really tough matchup for Minnesota. I think a worst-case scenario first-round matchup based on what was coming into play on the last day of the regular season. It's gut-check time for the Wolves after their best season since Kevin Garnett was there.
That is not the NBA insider we were referring to, but it's a good setup for the one that we were. That was Zach Lowe today on NBA Today, calling this a worst-case scenario matchup for the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I think we would agree has largely been the narrative for most of the week, right? It's just been, this is not a good matchup. It's not a good matchup for a variety of reasons. Yes, Minnesota plays great defense, but they don't play great defense against the Suns, and the Suns have the kind of offense that could just absolutely bust Minnesota's defense. And yes, Anthony Edwards is fantastic, but boy, he's really struggled against the Suns, and on and on, and we've heard all the angles, all the narratives this week.
Yeah, because the strength of the Timberwolves is they got a great rim protector in Rudy Gobert. Well, the Suns don't really go to the rim that much. Yeah. They pull up and take mid-range shots, so, you know, their typical defense relies on keeping Rudy Gobert around the paint, around the basket, but if you're the Phoenix Suns, you're the mid-range assassins. You love to, you know, pull up and take all these mid-range shots. You had a great stat on their mid-range shots.
This is great.
Which is incredible because you're comparing two guys to every other team in the league by themselves, and it's not even close.
This was from our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Just the two of them. Combined.
Just the two of us?
Hey, just the two of us. We could make it if we try. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, they could make it if they try.
You and I.
Made more mid-range shots.
Yeah, than many teams did.
26 teams.
26 teams
more
had less.
More than 26 teams in the NBA had fewer mid-range shots. This narrative, we beat it to death a year ago and 2 years ago. The Suns obviously play a style of basketball centered around these two players that's different than most teams. It is, this doesn't mean the Suns are going to win, but it is perfect for a team like Minnesota because Minnesota...
But Minnesota won't play that way.
Wants to play their drop coverage and say, you can't go to the rim, here's Rudy Gobert, and the Suns are like, we don't care.
Okay, we'll set a screen.
Yeah, Grayson Allen's going to be wide open and he's going to take the shot.
We're going to take either a three-pointer or a mid-range shot. You could stay there.
Drop all you want. And we're going to pull Kate, pull Kat out from the basket, and we're going to put him in the blender, and we're going to set screen after screen.
But they know that.
And we're going to get a guy open.
But they know that, so you should expect that there will be a different defensive coverage for Minnesota. Yeah. They will have to change the way they play defense in order to beat the Phoenix Suns. And that's what, these are adjustments that you can make in a 7-game series that you did not make during the regular season. They know it. But you don't make crazy changes to your defense during an 82 gauntlet of the regular season when there's no time to practice. They will probably come out with a different defensive scheme than what we've seen in the previous three games against
Perfect
them.
Segue, because that goes, not that we planned it that way, it leads right into John Hollinger's playoff predictions. Okay. He is the NBA insider we were referring to. He's got the Suns in six over Minnesota. He also made the same point about the Timberwolves loving drop coverage and the Suns aren't interested in going to the rim, so it doesn't matter if Minnesota's dropping to the rim or not. And he wrote obviously, there are adjustments Minnesota can make to take this away, but this isn't how the Wolves want to play or what they do best. The most radical adjustment would be to limit the minutes of Towns and Naz Reid and go massively smaller with Kyle Anderson at the four, but that might compromise Minnesota's spacing too much. He says the other adjustment, of course, is to score so much that it doesn't matter. The Suns are not an overwhelming defensive squad, and the Wolves could potentially mash them to pieces in the paint, especially if Nurk gets into foul trouble. He's saying that's, from his perspective, that's how you counter it if you're Minnesota. You go really, really small. Maybe you limit Karl Anthony Towns' minutes. Rudy Gobert, this happens to him every year during the postseason. He kind of plays his way off the floor because he gets exposed
but
against
I don't think
good
that,
shooting teams like
I
this.
I don't know that they can win if they limit Kat's minutes. And Rudy Gobert doesn't play a whole lot. I just don't know if they can.
I don't know if they can either.
I mean, now, you know, maybe they can. They've got some size. Maybe, you know, Naz Reid will play a lot. He's a very good player. McDaniel's a very good player. You know, Conley is a terrific point guard. It'd be interesting to see what I can't wait till tomorrow to see what they do because I am expecting Minnesota to do something different.
I would agree. He also writes, nonetheless, the story here feels more about Phoenix. After a series of fits and starts, Phoenix closed the year on a 30-15 clip and finally projects as the team we thought it might be at the start of the season. They might not have the depth to make a deep run, especially up front, and health worries always hang over this team's four best players. But in a single short series against a perfect matchup for them where they come in healthy, yeah, they're a handful. Suns in six. He then later, and he did this for the whole playoffs, he projected it all the way to the Celtics in seven over the Nuggets in the NBA
Finals.
So
how far has he got the Suns going?
Losing to the Nuggets in the second
round.
Nuggets in six over Suns is what he says. Oh, Mitch. Yeah, Mitch is like, yeah, I salute that. I got another little salute for you, Mitch, that you can't see, but it's right there for you. Yeah, right there.
Look, let's be right now, today, on April 19th, none of us would pick the Suns to beat the Nuggets in a series.
Nope.
But what can happen in these two series outside of injury?
Okay. This is a good question. I like this.
That would make us believe that the Suns could beat the Denver Nuggets.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
What if the Lakers take Denver 7 and just wear them down over 7 games? Some people think the Nuggets are going to win that series in 4.
Mm-hmm. Some people are. What if
they get worn down over 7 and the Suns get rid of Minnesota in 5?
Look, I know people get a little freaked out over kind of like 100% certainty like that, but for me, and this is just me talking, I don't want to speak for you on this one. I don't think outside of injury, I don't think there's anything that could occur over the next 2 weeks that would lead me to pick the Suns to beat the Denver Nuggets. No matter what happens in the series leading up, Suns sweep and dominate Minnesota in 4, and the Lakers take the Nuggets to 7. I'm still going to pick the Nuggets to beat the Suns in the next round.
I don't know. Like I'd have to right now. I can't think of anything.
Okay,
I'd have to see something to be. Like I don't even think struggling. The Denver Nuggets are going to have home court advantage. It's a tough place to play in the altitude. I know the Suns have beaten them before. Jamal Murray and Jokic are healthy, and Aaron Gordon's ability to defend.
Yep.
Now, I don't think that they're as good depth-wise as they were last year.
Definitely not. Not having Bruce Brown's
going to
hurt.
With the two guys that they lost.
Yeah, no doubt.
Without they rely more on Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, I don't think they're as good as the guys that they lost last year.
Yeah, I'll give myself a little wiggle room to change my mind, but I don't think I'm going to. I unless there's just something that really blows me away, I don't think I'm going to change my mind. I think the Nuggets are just that much better than the Suns. But that's a really good question. I like that. In fact, that might be let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't think we need to ask that poll question just yet because we've got to deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves first. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, 4 o'clock, just like that, we're halfway home on this Friday. Let's get you caught up with what's going on. Mitch stops by with the 4 o'clock reset next here on Burns and Gambo.